We get the opportunity to hear for the very first time one of our first-year interns share her very first message in public. And this is a very nerve-wracking time. Now, she's going to be sharing for about a 10-minute window or a little bit less, and this is the requirement of the first-year internship as we are affiliated with Global University out of Springfield, Missouri, and we offer the courses. But more than that, we offer the experiential side to ministry. And so please come on up if you would. I would like you to help us today. During this gathering, this is the only time that she's going to be sharing. During this gathering, Selena is going to be preaching and teaching from her heart. I would be, and I know she is, extremely nervous. That's when God can use us at the greatest level, right? Is when we're humble before the Lord. And so I'm going to ask that you would amen a little louder, clap a little bit more, and maybe even laugh a little bit more if she happens to have a little joke or a little pun in there, and support her as she's launching forward today in her public ministry to adults. Now, Selena is our intern, and her internship requirement is that she is our kids rally director at our South Stockton campus. That is not an easy assignment. That is a very challenging assignment that she does, and we're constantly evolving and changing and shifting and pivoting when it comes to the number of kids, and now we're up to sometimes as many as 30 kids are coming to that South Stockton campus on Wednesday nights, and she's charged with recruiting people, training people, and, you know, trying to keep most 9 out of 10 kids live through that service. So it's exciting. It's pretty good percent. I'm just kidding. She does a great job with those kids, and now we're gonna experience a great job that she's gonna do for us. So listen to the word of God, be ministered. Please give it up for New Life Church's own Selena Gonzalez.
Good morning, everyone. I'm so excited and nervous to be up here, so bear with me. I want to open up in prayer, so if you can please bow your heads and close your eyes. God, thank you for this opportunity to use me as a vessel today, God, to say what you want me to say. I pray that you open up the ears and the hearts of everyone here to receive what you want them to receive, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So I've prayed for months, guys, about what God wanted me to say today. And I had a mental block. But one thing that he put on my heart, and it's been reappearing for months and months, is don't get distracted. I was like, okay, God, you know, now what? I have these words, and what's supposed to come from this? So this was back in June. Well, as the months unraveled, I realized exactly what he wanted to say. There are so many ways we can let life or things of this world distract us from God's love and his plan for us. Example, social media.
Mm-hmm.
This is a huge, not just for my generation, but for everyone. I found myself getting distracted when I'm trying to study, when I'm trying to clean, or doing something productive throughout my day. I check all my accounts. I'll go to Facebook, then I'll go to Instagram, then I'll go to Snapchat. And yes, I'm that person who never likes anything, but I'm a little creeper. I see it all. but I feel like this can take away from our families, the time that kids spend on their devices or parents on their phones. It's in the way of them interacting, building bonds together, making those lifetime memories. What about even sitting down and eating as a family? I know this is so non-existent in our society. Another thing that can come from this is gossip. There's the devil throwing some distractions your way. You should be praying for Susie and John, not talking about how distant they look in that picture they posted. Just saying. If you guys have your Bibles, I'm going to be reading from Luke 15, 11 through 13. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country. And there he squandered his wealth in wild living." The rest of the parable goes on to say that the young man struggled as he spent all his money, and then he decided to return home and ask for his father for forgiveness. His father welcomed him with open arms. My point is, I only took the first few verses of this parable because this is where it all started. He squandered his wealth in wild living. He was distracted by the things of this world. I'm going to say that again. He was distracted by the things of this world. And it led him, it led it consumed him to the point of living homeless and hungry. All right, guys, I'm going to tell you about what a typical day looked like for me and for the most part still looks like for me. I wake up and go to work from 8:30 to 1:30, and then some days I work right after from 2 to 5. And then I have class from 6:30 to 8. I teach Kids University at South Stockton, and then I go to my night job from 9 to 1. I think it's okay to say that I can get distracted sometimes. Now, that's just one day out of my week. During this time of, sometimes I still go through it, I feel so disconnected from my family, and most important, I feel disconnected from God. And it was to the point, like clockwork, every Wednesday or Thursday, I had this overwhelming of feeling of sadness, and I couldn't shake it. I felt so disconnected with the ones I love the most. And now looking back and still thinking of, all I can think of is, don't get distracted. I think we tend to let everyday life get in the way of what God wants from us. Now, I'm not saying don't go to work or stop feeding your kids or stop doing your daily routine. No. But our Father wants us to just talk to him, pray, have an intimate conversation with him. That's all he really wants. So, let's go back 2 months. A car hit me. I totaled my car, which has left me carless. Because of this, I had to drop my classes because I go to school in Modesto. I have to ask for rides. And anybody who knows me knows I am stubborn. I don't like asking anyone for anything. And I do not like adulting when it comes to dealing with like doctor's appointments or dentist appointments. And this whole accident has forced me to put my big girl pants on to deal with the claim stuff. So again, this process has put me in a bad place mentally and emotionally. I find myself having conversations with God, like, you know, feeling, God, you know, I worked so hard for this. You know, I worked my tail off for this car, and it was something that I could call my own. And I'm in this storm, and I can't see the other side, guys. All I see is this cloud around me. And I was so focused on that and nothing else. And I realized my happiness was gone, my joy was gone, and I felt like the enemy took a hold of my situation, and I was distracted again, and I didn't depend on God like I should have. If you guys can turn to Mark 4, I'm going to be reading 34 through 40. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet. Be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" So this is how I see it. Jesus was chilling on the boat, napping while the storm was going on, and the disciples are losing it. And Jesus said, "Quiet, be still." Jesus said, "Quiet, be still," to my storm. Jesus is saying, "Quiet, be still," to your guys' storms. I know that we all go through different things in life, whether it's being overworked, working through trauma, dealing with depression, anxiety, being a parent, having a broken marriage. Now, I'm not saying these things don't matter, because they do, and I'm not saying that they don't hurt, because they do. I know you're tired, because I'm tired. But we cannot afford to let the enemy distract us from having faith in our Father. Like Jesus said, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" So I end on this. Let's have faith in of our Father and don't get distracted.